I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I delivered a message upon the background to the events that we have been reading about tonight in our Bible lesson, the fourth chapter of the book of Judges. This chapter reveals the enemies of the truth of God and His gospel. And it exposes the monsters of iniquity which come forth from time to time, from the very womb of sin itself, to attack the gospel of Jesus Christ. Monsters of murder, monsters of sin, and monsters of shame. Only God remains in control. Our whole world would have perished long since. And by today, it would have returned again to the state of being without form and void. Major General Cicero, he was the tough guy of the king of Jabin. A hater of God's people and a hater of the true God of heaven. He was a man that thirsted for blood, and he determined that he would destroy the people of God, the kingdom of Israel. Deborah was a prophetess sent by God to arouse the people of God to take a stand against the dictatorship of Sisera. The words that I read to you in the Bible reading, they reveal the story of Sisera's undoing and his death. The people of God, when they trust God and obey God, can never be defeated. They are fighting not for the victory. They are always fighting in the victory. And God gives victory to the people of God. Deborah called the children of Israel to awaken out of their sleep, to no longer give themselves to the strong man of Canaan, but to take issue with him in his villainy, his murders, and his plan for their destruction. And we have this scene set before us. The commander-in-chief of Canaan, ordered by King Jabin, the king of the Canaanites, got the army together to destroy entirely the people of God. What a scene we have before us in this chapter. the people of glorious history in the past, the people of glorious victories in the past, the people whose exploits exceeded all of their enemies and reduced their enemies to imprisonment, bloodshed, and slavery in the past. Alas, had lost their fighting spirit against the evil spirits of their day and generation. Suddenly, however, there came a breakthrough. Not the way man would engineer it, but how Almighty God engineered it. Note carefully, the wicked, murderous, bloodthirsty, hell-inspired tyrants, one jabbing the king of the Canaanites, and the second his evil commander-in-chief, Sisera. These were hell's twins. And they united together to destroy and wipe out all trace of the children of God from the land of promise. As Pharaoh and the Amalekites thirsted for the blood of the Israelites as they came out of Egypt and came through the wilderness, so these two men decided that they would utterly wipe out the nation of Israel. Now, as we turn the pages of the story that's written in the Bible, of the hatred of hell and how it was loosed on the people of God, and we see how Satan had already his eye on the messianic promise of a great victorious prince who would come from heaven and smash the grip of the enemies of the people of God and wipe out those enemies by his own almighty power. And what a revelation this was. It didn't come from the lips of a great fighter. It came from the woman's lips of Deborah. A weak woman with all the weakness of womanhood, but strong in grace, giving glory to God. She called for a deadly combat to take place. She called her people to eternal battle, no leaving off of the armor, no sheathing of the sword, no surrender to the enemies of hell. It was to be a fight to the finish. Now in our text, we have the history of the threefold arena of this war of heaven against hell. First, we see the awakening among the people of God. The children of Israel, weakened, saddened by the blood flowing in their land, suddenly became awakened and aroused to the task that Deborah called them to take, to organize their army, to bring in their youth, and to go forth and stand in the way of war and the way of battle and the way of murder that their enemies had planned for them. What a calamity had overtaken Israel. What surrenders had been made. What bitterness, bloodshedding, and banishment had been their lot. It was great uneasiness in the hearts of them all. Their own sins rose up to rebuke them, and their miseries were every day before them. But the time had surely come for the enemy to be taken on, as their fathers had taken on enemies in previous generations. They were to go out. They were to challenge the claims of Sisera, declare war upon him, and fight to his death and ruin. Resistance. Total resistance. Total commitment and consecration was the order of the day. It was either to be, Deborah told them, resistance or ruin. It was either to be life or death. War was the way to victory. This was demanded. The price had to be paid for their liberation. And the only way to reach that goal was to give themselves to this terrible task. It was deliverance from their own destruction. There was no other way. Fighting against sin is one of the first marks of divine life catching hold of the soul. It was Mr. Spurgeon once said, "The devil is a cruel tyrant with all his slaves. And he so terrifies his subjects that they fear him and are forced to follow him. He rivets his chains upon them. He eagerly looks forward to their destruction. Having blinded them, he leads them down the precipice of damnation with glee and rejoices in the unceasing cries of the damned." What a terrible tyrant Satan is. No wonder there is a stirring amongst his recruits and the beginning of a mighty rebellion against his plan for their destruction. This was the first step away from the dictatorship of hell and the devil's commander, Sisera, the beast of the pit of eternal death. Sinner, unless you tonight personally escape his satanic clutches, hell will be your eternal destiny. Secondly, taking the first step, we must press on. Victory can be ours. Barak saw the flight of Sisera. He was intent of being able to produce the dead carcass. There must be no hiding. It must be an absolutely assured victory. The proof must be forthcoming, unless it is complete destruction. The enemy will revive and come back to destroy us. We must rid ourselves completely of the deadly foe. Only the crowning of Christ and the total destruction of evil is sufficient. It must be war to the death. No compromise can be tolerated, otherwise it is defeat rather than victory. We must remember that the only spear which pierced the Savior's side is sharp enough to kill us of our sins. Only the grave of Christ is deep enough to be a tomb for our sins. Calvary is the only answer for the final demise of sin and the beginning of a life which can never die. It is at the cross we can plunge our sins in a shoreless sea, lost in its own immensity. What a victory must be won. Oh, what a place is that place where it was won. Come with me and let us stand at Christ's tomb. Only the carcasses of dead sins remain. They are silent witnesses of the finish of our sins forever. And the first witnesses of eternal life forever. This is the everlasting blessing of Christ's death and resurrection. The keys of death and hell cannot be used against anyone trusting in the Savior's blood. Christ holds the keys of hell and death. And for you, dear child of God, trusting in Him, you're safe from imprisonment and from hell forever. Your salvation is sealed. You are secured. You are saved. And you are saved eternally. Barak wanted to see the corpse. Christ meets me, having destroyed the devil and hell at Calvary. And He wants me to see the place where the devil's power was broken. And He wants to show me in His hand the keys of hell and of death. And He wants to give me the assurance forever. Listen to these words. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, Come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. The body of Sisera must be found. So Barak pursued his search. Jael, the housewife, who wore the army general's headgear, came out to meet him. She invited him into her tent. She showed him the corpse of the enemy of the people of God. That's the final message of the obituary notice reading read in the column of the everlasting times of God. Satan has been destroyed. His power has been broken. His strength is vanquished, and we shall reign with Christ forever. And of His reign, there shall be no end. There was a young man many years ago who came to the city of Dublin. His name was Thomas Kelly. He was a minister of the Episcopal Church. But God met with him and saved him. He became a great gospel preacher. He was put out of the church. He was banned for preaching the gospel. So he made this island home of ours a preaching place. And for years he labored, building churches and leading many souls to Christ. He wrote a very large number of hymns, over 800 of them. You could hardly find a hymn of this famous man, Thomas Kelly. They are all forgotten. But here are some lines that he wrote. "'Tis a place to sinners suited. There is that, though polluted, we can converse, hold with thee. From it Satan fain would drive us, and of good would thus deprive us. But it must not, and it cannot be. Satan's power and purpose knowing, Lord, behold thy people bowing, bowing low before thy throne. Thine it is, O Lord, to save us when the mighty foe would have us, and to thee we look alone. From thyself let nothing take us. Never leave us, nor forsake us, till we see thy face above. Thither when thy power shall raise us, then we look to sing thy praises, and to sing thy matchless love." What was true of Thomas Kelly, my friend, can be true of you tonight. You can come to the cross. The evil power of Satan in your life that would damn you forever in a Christless and lost eternity can be broken. Your sins can be cleansed away, and you can leave this church with all your sins forgiven, with a new heart and a new mind and a new life. And when your life on earth is done, you will go to sing the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his most marvelous light. I trust today you will seek the Lord, dear sinner friend, while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Make sure that you know the Savior, that you know his cleansing blood, and his eternal life is in your soul forever. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. And we pray that tonight, sinners in this meeting may turn their eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, be with us all, now and forevermore. And the people of God said, Amen. And amen.